Simulcast with WolfSpiritRadio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. Greetings, brothers, sisters, and other gender beings in my extended solar family. We are here on Studio B. Oh, wow. I just ran all the way from Studio A. You have no idea how far it is to run. I'm totally out of breath. And tonight, my guests are two gentlemen from, you could only say that they were from special operations programs and have recently decided to come out, as it were. One you're familiar with, one you're not so familiar with. Let's introduce the one you're familiar with first, Captain Max Steele. Good evening. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for allowing me to be here today on your show.
You're very welcome. And so the other week you brought into one of your shows our other guest, Jay or Jason. So let's call you Jason because I'll be Jay. And you're Jason Savage, is that correct?
No.
No?
Hey, JP, am I on?
Correct. Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Yes, perfectly. Yes.
Are you, okay, yeah, great.
Are you
just Jason?
just Jason. Okay. Yeah, I'm Max. You know what Max is like. He gives everybody's names. Anyway, so which one do I use? I'm sorry.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you, Max.
So listen, Jay. Are you in a moving vehicle?
No, I am right now because of what you told me. I had to get out of where I was because I cannot do any kind of remote viewing where I was. So just let me get to a more secure spot.
All right. Okay. So, You're on the island of Hawaii, is that correct?
No, I'm on Oahu.
Oahu. Okay.
Yes.
So, aloha from Scotland.
Aloha.
It's always good to connect, right across the world. I love doing that. So do you want to give the audience a bit of a background or, do you want to, settle your vehicle first and I'll talk with Max. What would you like to do?
Yeah, let me get in a comfortable spot. That'd be a little bit easier.
Okay, my friend. So, Max, good evening.
Yes.
How are you? We've had quite a week, haven't we?
Yes, we have. and not only that, what happened on my show Wednesday, that what really was going on is all true because not only that, Benjamin Folfer, on his interview today at May 2nd, around the 4-minute mark into the interview, he talked about what happened on the 27th of April, where what the White House was locked down and special forces walked into it, and that's all true. It's everything I did is all true. I mean, I have contact on the inside. Well, remember while we were doing it,
That's correct. But Max, from what I remember, you said that you had a friend who was on the inside and, at some point he turns up in handcuffs.
Yeah, he's a Secret Service. His name is Charles Bopp, B-O-P-P. He was transferred to the Secret Service there in, I believe it was 2013, I think it was. They was transferred there from another part of the United States, and he was handcuffed. A lot of the other Secret Service, I think, I forget what the detail. I think the detail they got is around 12 to 18 of them, but some were killed. Two were killed on purpose because they, like I said, two of the Secret Service agents were shape-shifting, and they grew bigger, and then they, the military opened up and killed them both, and they put three of them in another room, where my friend Charles Bach, Secret Service, was there. I have heard from him. They released him. I talked to Commander John Savage. He's inside the White House still in there.
Oh, I see. That's who you're talking about. I thought that, yeah, that's who we have on the show. Yeah, confuse, yeah, me, Max. Okay, sorry. But go ahead. You had Commander Savage.
Commander Savage was informing me on everything that was going on inside the White House, like we did on the show. It was live, and I did get General Dunford, that's the commander inside here. He was very upset that I was actually broadcasting this on the air, and boy, he chewed Commander Savage. But everything calmed down. I did hear from Commander Savage today, and I did talk to Dunford I talked today around 3 o'clock, I think it was, p.m. Eastern time. I did talk to him. He was a little upset with me, but I'm sorry I disobey your order, but you know, I'm not in the military no more, so I had to do what I did, you know, bring the information out to the public, because the public is tired of being redirected in a different direction. You know how that is.
That's right. Well, it's not just the public. It's not really quite the public, but it's like there is a non-military interested party, let's say, that isn't under orders from any cabal. We're completely independent, free-thinking, moral human beings who demand that the right thing be done. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, is there?
No, it's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I had got a call yesterday from another special ops that he's still active. He's in Black Ops, worked for the general. By the way, Dunford is a Marine general. Even though I was U.S. Army when I was in there, it doesn't matter if it's Marine, Admiral, or Air Force, you know, we have to do our duty. It doesn't matter what French it is. So, I did have a friend of mine, that called me yesterday on my home phone, and I don't know where they got it because I never gave it to him. But anyway, you know how they can get things, information when they need it. And he called me yesterday, and he told me that, boy, he was so glad that I did what I did, because, you know, he's one of those guys. He's a special ops. He's a lieutenant. And he was outside when this was going on, you know, observing the perimeter, make sure it was safe, and no interference from the outside would come in. Anyway, he said that he was glad that I confronted the general the way I did, because there are some times that, you know, high in command, you know, you can only do certain things unless you got a, there are several in command there. But the General Dunford is a 4-star general, and there is another general involved in this, which I can't reveal. I don't know if I can say his name, because the first thing that General Dunford told me today is, don't reveal the other general.
Stop talking about people by their names. Can we call him General B?
Well,
I bet his surname begins with B, Barney Bilderberger or something. But look, Max, this is all really, exciting, news, because we're talking about an operation that is, it's running counter to the chain of command, isn't it? You know, you're running counter. Everybody's running rogue, and you know, in the rest of the world, that one of the things that Fulford was saying was that there are a lot of mercenaries who were like paid to go with ISIS, and their and the dollars have all dried up, so they're all going home.
Yeah,
you heard about that? Do you hear any chatter about that?
I do know for a fact. Okay, which I may be on the outside, but I get a lot of info from a lot of my friends, a lot of intel. I do have a person that I'm trying to get him to come in on the show, but I think he's chicken out like always. I've invited to my show twice. He was the one who trained ISIS. Okay, you know what?
That would blow things apart.
You know what I'm going to do right now? All right, folks. All right. I don't know if I should say his name. But you know what? Let me go ahead and do it. Maybe he'll come out of the closet, right?
Well, would anybody be in danger if you said his name? Either him or his family?
Well,
that's what you got to think about.
Well,
I mean, it's
I know his life personally. He doesn't have any children. He does have a girlfriend. He lives, well, I can't tell you where he lives, but.
No, too much to tell.
Let me just change the subject. I don't want to go there. I don't want to put him in.
Let's leave your friends. Look, there's plenty to talk about. Now, one of the things that is going on is, there seems to be a rooting out of various factions that are in the White House. It's like different threads that have infiltrated, and they're not all from the same place. You know, some, you know, there might be Russians, there might, you know, America, who's not America's enemy?
That's true. I guess everybody is, because the Americans put their nose in the wrong places all the time. And, they got 960 bases all over the planet, and they're the police. They think they're the police of the world, which they're not. And it's time to stop that. And we could be living in a better peaceful planet if the U.S. stuck their nose and stuck it out their rear end instead of blowing smoke other places when it shouldn't belong. And
well, here's the thing. This is, I mean, if we are in touch. And we seem to be like, you know, influential enough to annoy them. Then perhaps we could suggest that a lot of military were to be drawn home, because as you were talking about last week, there are going to be earthquakes that are going to need, we're going to need, soldiers. We're going to need service men and women, because there's going to be a lot of serving need to be done if these, earthquake, planetary expansion, events are to happen. We're going to need a lot of people on the ground to help. Proper boots and hands and hearts.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be a lot of people. Now, the other thing is, you know, why not inform the people who are in the most danger and help them find somewhere else to go? Or do you just throw them under the bus? This is, you know, this is the choice. These are the choices that the modern military needs to make. It's not about how fantastic my technology is. It's like, what am I protecting? Who am I protecting? What am I protecting? You know, do you understand? This is the difference between a soldier and a serviceman.
Yeah. I got word from a friend of mine. He happens to be a, 33 degree Mason, and he quit. He's Cuban. He's well known, in Miami. His name is, Charles Del Campo. Charles D-E-L. That's the second word. And the third is Campos. You can look it up on YouTube, internet, wherever you want to. His name is Charles Del Campos. He used to be Illuminati. He showed proof that he was a Illuminati, and he quit the Illuminati because he didn't like what was going on there and what the Illuminati had in store for the future of this planet. Now, another person that works very close to him, who also is a 33 degree Mason. He happens to be a general in the Peruvian military. Now, that general, I can't say his name because I didn't marry his daughter many years ago to help her come to the U.S. to become a doctor. And he told me about 3 years ago, and I met with him. He came up, he called me, and he came, and we met here in the mountains where I live in North Carolina. And he told me a secret, and the secret, I'm going to reveal it right now. He told me that the cabal has installed these devices. It's got this new technology of explosive. I don't even know what it is. I've not heard about it, but it said it's about, 18 inches diameter, and it's about 12 inches in depth, and it has particles of neutron bombs in it. And what it does is they have planted a lot of these devices all along the Madrid fault line, and also near the Mississippi. A lot of them have been put in the Mississippi from all the way down from New Orleans all the way up to the Great Lakes, wherever the Mississippi ends up. And they have put that in those, he told me that they put one every 1 mile. Okay. They put them in the ground, and it cannot be controlled by any type of device. I mean, it cannot be controlled by a computer or nothing like that. It's already been programmed. Well, yeah, you need a computer to communicate with a satellite. The satellite is what activates it when the time comes. And a company out there, I'm not going to say their name. I don't want to get sued. well, what the hell? Microsoft was involved in it. They were the ones that created...
Well, you know, that doesn't surprise anybody, knowing that Bill Gates is Obama's hacker, you know.
Yeah. And, well
wouldn't it be funny if it was running Windows 7 and then it got its free upgrade to Windows 10, which insisted that it, well, so that these things will always fail, you know, because it's got bloody Microsoft technology on it. Oh, yeah. Actually, what we need is, for our friends to take out the satellite and then we'll be safe.
Yeah.
Okay. Can we ask that?
Yeah, it can be done. I know a few things about it. I was told by the general.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I want to discuss is that, let me see. Darn it, it passed my mind. It was very important.
Satellite system, underground bombs, 18 inches, generals.
No, I can't remember.
Girls.
It'll come to me.
Drink?
It'll come to me in a minute. The thing is that these devices are not only put they put about, 10 of them very close to the, what's the name of that, what's the name of that? It's out there. I think it's in Nevada. The dam out there in Nevada, that real big one. Does anybody know? I forget the name of it.
Hoover.
The Hoover Dam. The Hoover Dam has, on the inside, it has three of these devices, one in each end of the bottom and one in the center. Okay, and they have some along the side that's dry, not the where it's kind of holding the water. They got three of them set in there. What I understand that a group of Commander John Savage's group is. I told him about that. I've forgotten this for years. I mean, you know, it's been, I guess, 3 years since the last time I talked to the general, and he told me about this. And I told Commander John Savage about this a couple of days ago, and they're going to send some people out to take a look at it to see if they can find it, to remove it. They're going to need help from a few remote viewers to find out the frequency on these devices, how they work, because they're on. They're just not the code to activate, and they're not ready yet. They haven't been provided yet, but only a few people know these these codes. It comes in a plastic, like a card that you break. It's like the ones that the, some of these are put into safe and different, like for example, submarines and, you know, security places when they're going to fire up a missile into wherever they're going to fire to. They break this plastic, card, and then the inside is the codes to activate the missiles. Okay. So, it's the same way. Okay. And I guess that's about it.
So like what they call the football.
Well, football,
they used to call it the football. I mean, tell us about the football and who looks after the football. Tell me if the actual president has the football, or whether it's been subcontracted out to a company by any chance.
No. The president doesn't have it. It's very nearby. The head of the Secret Service, the one in charge of the detail, is the one that knows where it is. He's the only one that knows where it is. When the time comes, he go gets it and brings it to the president. And they still call it the football, by the way.
Okay, so who is this person?
I really don't know who's the head of the Secret Service inside the White House. I don't. I just know that my friend works inside there, Charles Bob.
All right, so the latest from Charles is that he's free to walk around, or is he?
He is free to walk around, because I talked to the general about 2 days ago. I talked to the general. I said, you need to release Charles Bopp, because he's not a bad guy. I know him personally, and he was in Miami as an ATF agent, alcohol, tobacco, and firearm. When I was there, I only stayed there a very little time. And I was there with him, and he told me he was going to relocate to the Secret Service. And I didn't see him after that. I haven't seen him for a while, but I did see him. I've talked to him very few times from time to time. But he is still inside the White House. And he's not allowed to really go out anywhere. He has to be escorted wherever he goes.
So he was a house guest of the White House, as it were.
He knows a lot of secrets about the White House, but he's not said anything to, put himself in any type of danger with the government, because he's not open his mouth or anything. I know that, because he's not like that. You can kill him, he won't open his mouth. That's what's good about him. So I just hope, if he's listening, I know if he's listening to me right now, I told Commander John Savage I won't be on the radio here today, and I'm sure he's listening to it, but I don't know. I'm so confused right now.
All right. Take a breath, Max. Take a breath. Right. Let's focus.
Let's give Jay a break.
Well, Jay, are you settled?
Oh yeah, I'm in a good spot.
Oh, excellent. Well, welcome to Journeys. So, would you, Max has all spoken out. He's kind of, it's like a deflated balloon. Hang on. So if my headphones just come out.
That was a mouthful.
Yes, indeed. So, welcome to Journeys. And, so you're speaking from the island of, Oahu.
Oahu is where the one where you fly into on, you know, Honolulu. I don't live in Honolulu. I live on the other side of the island.
All right. So it's the island where Honolulu lives. Okay.
Exactly.
Such a lovely, lovely sounds. And these are, it's all Lemurian, Lulu.
Yes.
You know,
I'm
Lulu,
home.
Mumu.
I was drawn here from the East Coast. As soon as I was able to get outside the house, I was here, to go to college. So it was a natural attraction here. And then I came back years later and now my wife and I live here with our four children. And we're all home. I mean, she's from the Midwest, but she feels at home here too. It's just a natural drawing. If anyone, if you're out there listening, you have this natural attraction to go somewhere, it's because your higher self is like urging you and nudging you to get where, you know, get in a good spot.
So, speaking from Lemuria and, Max is speaking from the outer edge of Atlantis and here I am in the, west, on the eastern edge of Atlantis. So, would you like to, introduce how did you know Max? Where'd you know Max from? Tell us some stories about Max. That's gonna be entertaining.
Well, I just met Max not too long ago. First of all, let me just, confirm two things that he said, from the White House, if you don't mind, while I'm thinking about him. When I was keying in on that energy of what was going on over that was Wednesday, wasn't it? God, time flies when you're having fun. Last week I had, visions of two people in handcuffs and I had confusion at the same time. And what I determined it was is that the number came back at 22 and the confusion was, the reason why I couldn't get the number was because, they isolated everybody. So they were all in separate parts of the White House. So from a remote viewer standpoint, it took me, and I'm a beginner. I'm a novice, in many respects, but it took me a little bit to figure out that they were all in separate rooms. And so when I went back in and, I came up with about 22 people, but the confusion was it's because several people had no idea why they were handcuffed. And so there was a lot of innocence in those 22. I don't know what the number was, but there was some confusion as to what was going on. So I don't think everybody kind of knew what the heck was.
So Jay,
what was happening?
Is there, presumably that you've taken the protocol and you've advanced your own. Do you get to be able to read intent in your remote viewing?
Yeah, I think that's what kind of comes first mm-hmm. with a lot of things in person too. When I meet people, I can understand intent and
you can feel the flow of where their energy is going.
Yeah, I mean that's got to be the first thing that opens up for you, I would think, because okay. In me, that was the first thing that really kind of opened up for my psychic abilities was just understanding people's intent and their emotions and reading people's emotions. And then I started to be able to, you know, kind of read people's minds and it comes in images mostly.
Right. And this is what I was saying about, on the previous show is that all of these faculties, they're like our natural senses. We, as human beings, as a full human being, everybody can remote view. Everybody is telepathic. Everybody can empathic. Everybody is psychic. You know, all of these different gifts that like one or two people seem to have as probably a result of early trauma, but have these faculties. But developing them in yourself, there has to come a point when you realize that, you know, you're not just a person messing about with this stuff because there's a spirit inside your body that is also interested in you learning this stuff, but for its purpose. Do you understand what I'm saying? or did have you? Have I? Is everybody online? Have I lost the call? No. Jason, are you there?
I'm here.
Max is there.
What happened?
I don't know. I asked a really long, complex question, and obviously Jason is mobile, so maybe his phone has gone offline or something.
Yeah, I just gave him a chance to come back. Yeah. Got some really interesting. He's very good at what he does.
So, Max, do you have any thoughts about what I was just saying about that you're not necessarily, remote viewing and all of these other talents are not just the domain of one of, individual people, but are common. They're like what we all should be, but we are blocked from these things. What do you think are the blockages?
Well, a lot of the human being does have psychic abilities. You just got to be able to develop them and be able to open and have somebody or have to evolve your third eye because it's part of it. It works with the pineal and the pituitary gland. It's part of what the psychic comes in. The remote viewing is, I can probably say that you have to develop that skill a little bit stronger. It's not easy. I guess if you call a clairvoyant, that sees things the way it sees it, I guess you could probably call that remote viewing because that's the closest thing to it. But remote viewing is a little bit more deeper, be able to see things the way they look and see the way things are happening. It's just like I said, it's all part of the same thing. It just got to be able to develop your psychic ability first before you can do, any type of remote viewing. There's a lot of good people here. There's a couple hosts here on Wolf Spirit Radio that have incredible, remote viewing, like Nancy Hopkins got good remote viewing. You got remote viewing, JP.
I have a remote sort of sensing thing. Yeah.
I have it too. Very good remote viewing. I considered, Jason to be very good at it. I do have one person that I wish I could bring him to the show. I have a group of remote viewers that work with me.
Excellent.
That we do many things together. There's a total. There used to be 21 of us, but now there's only 7 of us. And I know that this is one of the best there is. And he is in United Kingdom. I'm not going to mention his name because he does work for the British, intelligence.
hold back with the names, Max. Hold back. We know.
Yeah, I'm not going to say any name because I sometimes get myself in trouble.
Actually, can I talk about the name of one thing? Does the name The Shop have any connection with you? Any familiarity in terms of remote viewers?
What's his name?
The Shop. Was there a group that was called The Shop?
Hmm.
No, doesn't familiar.
It doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah. Okay. Because they call themselves all sorts of things. Usually they call themselves the group.
The only one that could probably be called that what's his name? Edward Dames.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the other one?
Well, there's the Farsight people. So. Ed Dames and, Inigo Swan. Was that his name?
But there's another one. He's been on Revolution Radio many times. I forget his name. God, he's really good at it too. But I know one that's the best of all of them put together at the same time. And that's my friend who works for the British intelligence. And that man is incredible. That man could see things that freak you out.
Well, we'll have a conversation one day, maybe off the air. But but perhaps on the air as well. And that'd be an exciting thing to do. So yeah, Max, we've Jay, are you back yet? Have we lost you completely? Hang on. Have we lost you? Or are you muted? That's always another thing. Yeah, sometimes. But
why don't you knock him off? Can you get him off here and see if he
drop him and then bring him back.
Maybe he'll come back. Drop
see him. What happens. There we go. So
hello?
Oh, there you are. I asked this incredibly long, involved question all about the morality of remote viewing, and then at the end of it, there was this big silence, and you weren't there anymore.
No, I didn't hear that.
Well, I ain't going to repeat it.
Good. It was probably for a reason.
So the question had come down to intent and your own intent when doing the remote viewing. That's the question, right? Because one of the data points I got when reading about remote viewers, which I've been interested in this stuff for a long, long time, is that when they start going down into the deep theta, when you actually are influencing remote healing influencing remote things, then somehow the universe conspires to not work if you're trying to do something that is essentially beyond somebody's free will. Or, you know, to harm them in any way. Have you come across this, or have you found that some things work and some things don't? Do you understand what I'm getting at?
Yeah, well, it's funny you say that, because it's easy to violate free will unknowingly. Universal law is something that that you have to have kind of in mind. My intention is always according to people's highest good, but even that can leave a lot open for interpretation. I mean, if you look back on your life, think about all the situations your higher self has gotten you into for your quote unquote highest good.
Exactly.
You know? I mean, so when I don't ever just say, okay, I just want to leave this open to my highest good. I get specific, you know, and for my highest good, I've gone through, you know, a lot of hardship in my life, and I'm kind of done with all that. I realize the lessons. And so I'm very careful to enter into a situation with all of that in the forefront. So it's very clear as to why I'm here, what I'm doing, and what I want to accomplish. And the rest, it works it out for itself. So, I mean, if you just go in with a loving intent, you're fine. But you need to be specific. Otherwise, you know, people's higher selves will put them in all kinds of awkward spots to get a point across and teach you a lesson.
Well, exactly. And this is it, because it's that moment of approaching this technique, because you're actually walking into the gates of a temple. And how you respond to it, will have consequences as well for yourself. You know, because if you're messing about with things in etheric and you leave some mess somewhere along the line, you're going to slip on it big time.
Yeah, I'm not. Well, you
or does that not happen?
You can take on the karma of somebody if it doesn't turn out right. You can share in that karma. So is that what you're saying? Because that's what I believe.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
if it doesn't.
Yeah. What I'm saying is, if you're going in there and your intent is not 100%, then you'll leave some crap lying around. That's the natural byproduct of it, and then that later on you will slip on that piece of poo.
And you also put yourself out there. So if you're not, if you haven't done, and I don't even look at myself as a remote viewer, but if you haven't cleared out, you know, cellular debris, if you haven't integrated timelines and all this other, you know, spiritual, you know, these spiritual milestones that we all go through at different times and in different order, you leave yourself open to attack too, because you got to be protected.
Yeah.
So, definitely.
And the best,
I do all that.
Yeah, and indeed the best protection, as I keep saying, is to not be offensive. You know, like, you know, be stealthy.
Just be a nice freaking person.
Yeah, exactly. It really gets you somewhere. It really does. It really does make the difference, you know, and I bet you in Hawaii, you know, being a grumpy sod is not going to get you very far, you know,
yeah,
because everybody's loving.
Kids. They're, you know, I got four kids. They're all under 12 and, you know, all the way down to 3. So, you know, I consider myself overall just a loving, nice person, you know, a good father, a good husband. And that's kind of, you know, if I identify with anything, it's that part of my humanity that I identify with.
Good, 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 good. Because it's the, as I said, you know, you can be, the greatest of anything, but without the heart, then you're lacking the humanity and the, so where we're looking at, you know, we've been talking about the events in the White House and, what's going on at the moment seems to be, and here you are, you know, sort of half in, half out. You know, you've got your periscope stuck in there, same as Patty. She's got her satellite connection still, and she's able to speak to people, the people, you know, through these limited, what do they call it? Can't remember. The being able to disclose what's really going on, you know, the whole background process that only conspiracy theorists have been kind of theorizing about for many, many years. And here we're coming to the point where conspiracy theory and the true reality actually meet, and that the conspiracy theorists are actually kind of right all along. They were just basically vilified by the Nazis who killed Kennedy. So anyway, yeah, let's just sum it up here. So Jay, what's brewing in your view, in your purview just now? What, you know, from your mountaintop, what can you see going on?
Well, the thing that I can't see that you know, there's a lot of spiritual people out there that say, don't focus on what you don't want. Don't focus on what you can't have, what you can't see. But in doing that, if you don't know what it is that you can see, that's a good spot to start with, because usually the opposite is true. But what I'm wondering of what's going on right now is, so it's my understanding that President Obama, the flesh and bone President Obama, who was kind of grown in a test tube, more or less, he was brought up in the Central Intelligence Agency. There's, you know, I mean, I think Max was saying that he was going to have someone on this week that was in the Central Intelligence Agency. Ask him about it. He knows Obama from the Central Intelligence Agency.
I know somebody who knew him when he was like 8 or 9. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's my understanding that he is gone and that his clone has been put in his place and that they're now on like his 11th clone or something like that. I'm wondering why, if these arrests are going down, you know, if he's still walking around, like, what's the status of him? I saw him in a press dinner. I don't know if that was pre-recorded, but I think it was last week, where he said that the end of the republic has never looked so good at the very kind of in the first opening minutes of that statement. And he said a couple other things that were soft disclosure type things, and everyone's laughing, and so you just kind of blow it off. But that's circling around. So I'm trying to figure out what's going on with Obama, and I've been for the last month or so, and really been working on. This is another tricky subject, like you said, you have to be careful. But breakdown of these clones in public on TV.
Well, this is the thing. This is the thing. I had one of my inside connections told me, you know, there's everything has a bug, you know, because it's like modern industry and everything has a bug in it because it's like not perfect. And one of the bugs of clones, which is a real bug given the situations that they are put in this particular situation, is that they break down under stress.
Yep.
And
they're not lasting as long.
That's right. So if they're bombarded by two or three situations at different levels, then they'll just break down. So it's a good way of testing.
I'm pretty sure that you know, we keep, all right. So here's how I got it.
Take a breath.
I figured out that I was remote viewing. All right. Cause I would get into these long meditations and, I learned meditation formally through the Chosenji, Zen Buddhist temple. And so I would get into these, and then I kind of made it my own. So that's the history of how I learned how to meditate. I really didn't know much about meditation. And I said, you know what? I want to learn how to formally meditate. I want to just start in I kind of want to go to school and learn how to meditate. So I learned at the Chosenji. You don't have to learn how to meditate, by the way. This was just me, several years ago. So fast forward, and I'm kind of doing my own thing at this point. I take what serves me best and I kind of leave the rest. I'm doing my meditations and then I start seeing reports, and especially like on alternative media, about stuff happening that I'm meditating on. So that's how I kind of keyed in that, okay, something's going on here. And there's more to it than I realize.
And what were you seeing?
Well, right now, you're asking me what I've been seeing lately?
Well, I mean, at that time, what were these, I mean, what, you give us an example of the things that you saw unfolding in your mind that you then were
looking
shown.
Looking chronologically in backwards order, CERN in Switzerland, I had been meditating on it. Starting in the United States, I've been meditating on these underground tunnels and these tunnel systems that run throughout the United States. And of course, since then I've been educated about all this, but at first I didn't know what was going on. You know, I just kind of saw this in my mind's eye and then I just went with it. I would come to a control panel. I would dismantle it. I would take it apart. I would fry the wires. The first thing I did was I said, okay, there's underground bases. I feel that they're being used for bad things and the tunnels are being used for bad things. I'm going to shut it all down. No one in or out. And I just kind of meditated on the locks not working. And then I saw a report somewhere that said, yeah, these Myolabs were shut down, but then, other people came in and fixed it and they're back up and running. And I was like, okay, that's got to be coincidence. But CERN, when it, and then I saw, so the way I found Patty was I saw the video of her, doing the over satellite view of Switzerland and CERN. And that's when I was like, I was a part of that. I can't believe that you're showing all this.
Exactly.
Like,
here's the thing.
So now it's portals. So now we're closing down portals. Mm-hmm. Right now what I'm doing, I'm shutting off clones, and I saw a video of, John, I don't know if he's a clone or not, but Johnny Depp stepped off of his tour bus and literally was writing, signing his signature, and he just like stiffened up and fell over like he was turned off. So that's what I'm doing with clones. I'm saying, okay, they're shutting down, they're malfunctioning. I'm tired of doing this work. I'm tired of messing around, you know, and I can understand, you know, like General Dunford and people like that wanting OPSEC, operational security, and this and that, and is for your best interest, but I'm done with that. You know, I'm tired of playing this game. I'm tired of paying taxes and supporting these people financially. I'm not doing any of it anymore. You know, I'm just done. I'm still living my life. I mean, shoot, I was at the beach all weekend playing with the kids, you know, so it's not like this is, you know, making, you know, I mean, that's the key, you know, is you do the work and then you go out and you know, you got to keep your vibration high. You got to have and what I mean by that is you just got to be loving, you know? I mean, if you see someone cut you off and you get upset, you know, well, then that's the first thing for you to, you know, to kind of clear out of your system, because
that's the first battle.
So that I see it. I even see a lot of the people, you know, the light worker community, if you want to call them that or whatever you want to call it, you know, all of us, if you even want to label us, I see a lot of them have a lot of that work that needs to be done within themselves. And that's our, you know, that imbalance is natural tendency of humanity, especially over the past, you know, however many thousands of years. We're bred, and, you know, it's one of the beauties of us is that we live to help other people. We live to do things outside of ourselves and it's service to others. But you got to take care of yourself. There's got to be a balance. There doesn't have to be. You can do whatever you want, but it's a lot. You're going to live a lot healthier, natural life if you balance it out.
Jay, you have to breathe in and you have to breathe out. Yeah. You can't do both. You can't just do one. Thank right? You. And in one way, you have to act. And in another way, you have to receive. Exactly. In one way, you have to be. And another way, you have to do. You have to be in the flow of everything. And it's, you know, a left to right. It's like swimming like a fish. If a fish was stiff, it wouldn't swim. A fish has to flex all the time.
Yeah.
And we have to flex all the time, mentally as well as physically. Which is so, you know, like breathing in and breathing out. It really helps. So the point is the spiritual development of all of us is the understanding that that battle that you were talking about, the battle inside us, is the true Third World War, and is the one that if light workers do overcome, imagine what, I mean, for instance, imagine if a light worker is being held in a place of fear, and light workers are teachers that have many students. Somebody's beeping. And light workers have many students that as soon as you awaken the light worker, then all the students get a boost in their life as well. And this is something that not many people talk about, but the reason that the sheeple are asleep is because part of us is asleep, because we're responsible for the sheeple. If you're listening to the show, then you've got some kind of initiation. You know people. Even you may not think you know people. You may just be on your own, but you've known lots of people in your life. You may have worked with thousands of people. You may even have been a teacher or a student or, you know, or something that had lots of people around you, a supervisor of kinds.
JP.
Max.
I've been quiet because Commander
Dunford?
John Savage, he just sent me a message. Just put it up here on the Skype message.
All right. Do you want me to read it?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, one moment. Let me just arrange my mouse so that get to the... Max, everything... Hang on. Where's the breaking news? Oh, I don't know what my breaking news one. Is that one? Yeah. Yeah, breaking news. Breaking news. Oh, that's Twilight Zone. Breaking news. No, I haven't got that one yet. Oh, well, never mind. How about Batman? Meanwhile, back at the White House, Max, everything is better here at the White House. General Dunford sworn in as temporary president of the United States. The U.S. Army told to stand down and all law enforcement. Obama has been removed into an undisclosed location. We'll contact later. John. Well, there you go. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here.
Yeah, he just finished sending it to me. And I will talk to him later. I don't know why he's a little bit today, a little bit not saying so much. I guess they've been instructed not to say too much, but well, that's a busy lot of information.
He might be busy, you know. That's why people don't say very much, is because, you know, like you were saying the other day, you know, when you're on a battlefield, you don't want to be talking to, you know, to the press. You don't want to you want to be focused, you know. You don't want to have to talk to people, explain yourself. You have to just do what you're doing. So thank you, John, for your intel then. So Jay, are you back?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, good, good. Where are we? We've got about 3 minutes left till the top of the hour. And we'll have a hard break and lots of people shouting and electric guitars and all good stuff. And then we'll come back with a little tune and we'll be going on. So where should we go? Remote viewing. Because I'm completely fascinated by this thing. It's like when I was a kid, I read science fiction things and there were people who had thought processes that could do this kind of thing. And it was like, oh, astral travel, isn't that cool? And now I sort of walk amongst people who do this every day as a matter of like breathing. And sometimes I'm even called to do it myself. You know, people ask me to remote view their medical conditions and sometimes remote influence them. So, and that works. And that's amazing. That's really quite astounding when that happens. So it's interesting that the aspect that I brought in, that I came into this, through the healing, modality. And there Max, were you actually trained remote viewing?
No.
No?
No, that was natural in me.
So this is, you know, cause like, so did you go through any training, of sorts, Jay, as well?
No, I'm self-trained. So I can tell you how I started off doing it.
How do people do it? How can anyone do it?
Yeah. And this is something that you can do with anybody. I was just doing it with my two youngest today. What we'll do is, well, so when I started doing it by myself, I would hold out, I bought some telepathic cards, you know, with the squiggly line and the circle and the square and the star. Excuse me. And I had, when those came in the mail, I started just trying all kinds of different methods to guess what it was. All right. So I reached out with my consciousness. I would show it to a part of my body, like maybe my foot. And then I would reach down with my consciousness to my foot to send me back the message that it sees on the card. And what I do with other people is, you know, from there it progressed into other people looking at the card and then, being able to see through their eyes what the card is. And let's see what else. And then at the same time, you can develop your telepathy because like with my kids, what I do is I use a deck of cards.
Jay, hang on. We're up against the hard break. So,
Okay.
Let's restart that at the other side of the hour. Do not go away. This is so interesting. You'll never hear this again. And welcome back to Journeys with JP. Weird Al Yankovic. I think I'm a clone now. I thought I really should have played that at the beginning of the show, but I couldn't find it on my playlist anyway. That's always what I have the problem. Anyway, Jay, you were mid-flow.
Oh, thank you so much for that Weird Al Yankovic song. That's great. He's a very conscious person, by the way. Very.
Oh, totally. Have you heard Foil?
Very enlightened. Oh gosh, consciousness is almost a four-letter word these days, but he's on top of it. I love that guy. We're talking about remote viewing and telepathy and kind of the things that I did to open up those remember. It's really just about remembering because we've all done this before. I should disclaim that.
Yeah. Lay out. Where are you coming from? What's your space?
Yeah, this is all my opinion, but I believe that, I got the number 900,000, really early on years ago that I'd been reincarnated on the earth for 900,000 years. And that Lemuria was one of my, you know, like big locations where I needed to return to. That was kind of the attraction back to here. But I believe, so we've done this all before, so it's just a matter of remembering. It's not like, I mean, there's remote viewers that can read people's DNA and tell you exactly, you know, what the makeup is. There's remote viewers that can look in the body. I mean, there's so many different modalities. Like you said, you got into it for the healing aspects of it. There's so many different modalities of it. It really is just remembering and kind of keying in on what's going to serve you best in this moment, in your present moment, because really all you have is the now, is this moment right here. We really don't know. Anyone that tells me this is what's going to happen, my discernment says, okay, well, let's make that our own, because there's no way that person knows what's going to happen. Now, you could tell me what could happen, but I don't believe that you can really say what's going to happen. You know,
absolutely.
This
is what Cliff High, Jay, calls monkey mind. Monkey mind predicts all these things, but it can't actually predict what the universe is actually going to do, because the universe is infinitely creative and will never do what monkey mind says.
Exactly. So, and that's the power that you have. You have the power. Like, when Max was talking about these devices, well, those devices are on the ley lines. That's what he's talking about. You know, the faults and the ley lines of Earth, those devices are on the ley lines. But it's my understanding that, first of all nuclear weapons have been transmuted. They're not gonna, they don't have any effect whatsoever. That's why that there was a bomb a couple weeks ago that was, stopped from going off in the desert. I think it was in Barstow. That was like a dirty bomb. It was like a chemical bomb. Well, that's what I got. I got that was a chemical bomb and it wasn't nuclear, because they don't have any nuclear bombs. So they're pulling out the old arsenal. So I'm not worried about those devices on the ley lines. Now, that does, you know, ignorance is bliss, but at the same time, I've already been reassured that that will not happen, that we've moved off of that timeline where any kind of destructive geological happenings are going to occur. And you remember last week, all the talk was about all the craziness that's been going on in Yellowstone. And I even looked at Yellowstone, and, you know, you can go onto the cameras and look at Yellowstone, and Old Faithful is just like going nonstop. I don't know if it still is, but when I looked at it, it was just Old Faithful is what, every 80 minutes or something like that? It was just nonstop. But, you know, that we're clearing out the energy. Gaia is clearing out the energy. If you look at Gaia like one of us, just in an elevated developmental stage, you know, it's my understanding at one point in time, Gaia was just like a being just like us. And you progress throughout your development into being, you know, planetary consciousness, universal consciousness. So with that, we're just remembering these things. Okay. So I think that if you go in with that, is that I already know how to do this. You know, and I'm not trying to ask for the world here. I don't want to read people's DNA. I don't have any expectations. I just know that I can do it, and that if it's in the best, if it's going to be good for others, then I'll do it. So if you don't have that mindset, it might be that you're just not, I mean, you know, look at the things that you're good at that you enjoy, and that's the path you should take. And this goes for everyone. I mean, imagine a world where the waiter is just really passionate about being a waiter. You won't have to worry about bad service. You'll get good service all the time. And this kind of is in line with that. But with the telepathy, what I do is, and it's good to do this with people, like my children, because they can look at a card and not really know what they're looking at. You know, so if I hand my 4-year-old, who just turned 4 last month, if I hand her now it's May, so it's 2 months ago, but if I hand her a card and it's the Jack of Spades, she looks at it. She doesn't know what a spade is. Well, she does now, but at first she didn't know what it was when I first started doing this. She didn't know what it was. So in order to read that card, you have to reach into their consciousness and you have to see the card in their mind. And then you have to tell them the card, you know, so I practice remote viewing and telepathy, kind of at the same time. So does that make sense? That's how I started. That's how I started learning it.
Yes,
and
indeed.
With remote viewing, I launch out my consciousness, and then I look at it from outside of myself, and I get a physical image when it's really strong. When I do it really well, I get a solid visual image, but a lot of time I get an energetic image. Like those people in the handcuffs, I got, you know, if you look at my notes, it's like, you know, bound. It's like a bound feeling, like a handcuff feeling, and it's isolation, it's confusion. And then from there, I can develop the physical picture in my mind's eye. I see the physical picture. And that's how I started, just using little shapes and a deck of cards, just a standard deck of cards. And the jokers are bonus. And when I get to the jokers, I get confused, and I get a lot of colors and a lot of things at once. And I think it's because, you know, my kids will look at it and be like, what is that? That looks cool. That's fun. And so I'm like, oh, it's a joker.
So you're essentially, you're reading your kids' energy field reaction to it. See, the other thing, Jay, is one of the reasons that one develops these things is because people ask you. People draw your talents out of you, I have found. And sometimes people say, can you help me with this headache I've got? It's like, I don't know. How can I help you with a headache? Just look up, just tell me. And I'll just tune in and, Yeah, actually, yeah, your skull's out of line with your neck, and you know, go to a chiropractor, or you know, or something like that. You know, like you say, it's a and here's another thing: is when you're doing healing and you're looking at somebody's skeleton, and it's you know out of line or something like that. What you do, the way you work it, is that you then project a perfect version of that, not the broken one. You create the perfect one in your mind, and you project that into the space, and then reality kind of drops back into that because you're holding the frequency there. That's another thing that. So, are there comparable things that your operation of remote viewing and influencing have analogies to that? Did you know you could do that?
Well, I just saw, I don't know who said, oh,
that'll be Max. Of course it's Max. Who wouldn't?
That's, you know, it's funny you said that, Max, because I actually have like a shared ownership place in Vegas. And I started going to Vegas right when I went in the military. I mean, the big thing with the military is, you know, gambling and among other things, but you know, you have a lot of things to keep you occupied, a lot of free time when you're not, you know, out there doing what you do. And I got into gambling and I stopped doing it because it was just like ethically wrong. Cause I would just take everyone's money. I mean, cause you can, you know, if you can't see the cards themselves, which a lot of times I can, at least the color, I could always get like the red or the black. You could read their mind and see if they're lying or if they're, you know, if they're, you know, so. Yeah, I guess there's parallels because, you know, and I got a degree in psychology. So my passion has always been human behavior and why people act the way that they do. And, you know, I've been trained in psychological operations when I was, you know, before I went into special forces training. I have to say too, before I actually went operational, I left the Army. So I was never like, you know, deployed, into a combat zone or anything like that. Like I said, as soon as 9/11 happened, my higher self saw what was coming down the road and it got me out of there completely. Like I was flabbergasted because I was, you know, I was like, wait, why is this happening to me? But at the same time, I just kind of went with it. So yeah, I mean, it permeates your whole life. But along that line, one of the challenges that I have right now that I've been working on, and I didn't know the first thing about this, until maybe toward the beginning of the year, is, activating my Merkaba. And, I've been working on it and meditating on it. And at one point I saw it, you know, in one of my meditations, I saw my Merkaba be activated, and it came from both, below me and above me, spinning in a counterclockwise direction from above and below. And it came and encapsulated me, and I was in it. But I was just over the weekend. I mean, I usually write down notes in a journal, maybe one page, maybe about 3 pages a week. I wrote like 20 pages over the weekend because I had to go back to sacred geometry, and I'm starting from the beginning. And I'm learning the sacred geometry.
Here's something, Jay. This is from our resident shaman, Walt Silver. Who has extensive experience with his Merkaba, being a shaman. That's what he does. One of the things that I also heard, and it happened to me. I accidentally chanced upon doing this thing. It's a long story, but, I found myself in a spaceship for about 3 or 4 minutes, which was enough time to take me into the future and, you know, all sorts of stuff. But apparently when you spark the Merkaba and it gets going, it comes up on people's radars.
Yeah. It was for a split second.
Yeah. But what you can do is you can actually program it to be cloaked. You can just turn, you know, cloaking on. So just as a hint, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to be stealthy, you know, just turn the cloaking on. It's infinite on the inside. You know, like the TARDIS is bigger on the inside. This is infinite on the inside on the Merkaba. Because it's you. Yeah.
And I've talked to Max about it before because I had some really cool visuals and like it was amazing. Like, you know, what it looked like inside. It was like I had this sick bedroom. I won't go into it, but at any rate, yeah, I would. So just to back up a little bit, we have a pillar of light. Like we have this strong energetic pillar or whatever you want to call it in the middle of our living room. And anyone that is like somewhat sensitive can feel it. And it's because my whole family meditates together. Like we have an indigo child and a starseed. Like our youngest is both an indigo child and a starseed. She's got stark white hair. So I do a lot of stuff with her and she teaches me a lot of stuff. And, you know, she calls us humans. You know, she saw a sign the other day, we were getting a smoothie and it said it had like, a, you know, the little no symbol with a dog behind it because they didn't want your pets in there. And she goes, look, daddy, no pets, only humans are allowed in here. So she doesn't think like us. She thinks like a, you know, like this is her first time on earth.
She's a hybrid, isn't she?
Yeah, she's both the starseed and indigo child at the same time, which is really kind of unique. Well, it was, but I'm sure it's not now because your kids are being born with like crazy, there's some crazy stuff that kids are doing that people, you know, talk about and you can't even believe it. It's so unbelievable. They can walk through walls and all kinds of, I haven't seen it firsthand, but you know, if you hear people talk about it and you trust them, then you kind of get an idea that there's a lot of possibilities out there. But so yeah, I set up protection and I use crystals and I have an Oregon pyramid. And plus where we live, JP is, you know, we're kind of in the country, you know, the cell phone coverage is really spotty. You know, we don't have a lot of interference out there. We don't get any radio stations at our house. We don't have any television. You know, I mean, we're kind of like modern day hippies. So we have a lot of protection. And then we've got like between all six of us, we have like crazy amounts of guides and mentors and people around.
So do you have your Iseti type ranch then over in your Hawaiian dream,
you know,
paradise?
We're right across the street from the beach, but we're, you think about Lemuria, it was a huge continent.
Yeah.
And we're what's left of north central Lemuria pretty much from my understanding.
So tell me about how you've explored that angle. I'm very fascinated because of, a certain experience that I had during a regression. Is that we came back, we went back to Lemuria and discovered the first blood sacrifice.
You know, that's interesting. One of my first spiritual teachers, you know, back when I was a student, I don't look at myself as a student anymore. I mean, I'm a lifelong student, but I don't label myself anything. So I don't look at myself as a remote viewer. Like I said, if I'm going to label myself anything, it's just a concerned human that, you know, that wants humanity. And in my mind, we're all here for Gaia. You know, this is her time. You know, we've had our time here. This is her time. And I'm going to do everything that I can to support her, which includes supporting humanity and hybrids. I mean, because not everyone on Earth is, you know, traced back to the rhesus monkey, you know, is Rh positive. We have Rh negative people that are all, you know, from my understanding, completely hybrid and don't have any direct lineage to the earth itself. They've been brought here at some point in time, like all of us have been brought here, but the ones that were originally developed from earth came from the rhesus monkey as far as from my understanding. So that's why, you know, everything that I do is really the intention behind everything is for the development and the progression of Gaia, cleaning it up. We own a health food business. We are going to expand that into recycling. You know, we own three businesses and they're all like health and wellness related. And that's pretty much my purpose.
Wow. Brilliant. And, so the Lemurian aspect.
JP, I didn't finish. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Yeah. Take
Dolores,
a breath.
Before Dolores Cannon passed away, she was one of the first people that I kind of keyed in on because I went from being like a beer drinking Sons of Anarchy on Wednesday night, you know, type of person to just full heart awakening. I mean, literally, and I know that people make fun of people when they can remember. I don't remember the date, but I can tell you I was walking, I was carrying my car keys and I got this shock in my heart that launched my car keys out of my hand, dropped them down, and I reached down to get them, and I literally like fell to my knees, and my heart was just completely wide open. And from that point on, it's just been game on. But I went from, you know, being in that state of mind to being fully aware that, okay, wow, there's a lot going on. And so Dolores Cannon was one of the first people that I keyed in on. You know, this was years ago before she passed away. And so if you listen to her or any other, the regressionists, like you said, they talk about the fact that, and I identified with this very strongly, about you start as elements. You start as the elements, you start as maybe the air, and then you move into the rock and into the tree. I don't know if you're actually, if your consciousness is actually there, but I can definitely identify with it. And I don't know if I access like Akashic records or something without even knowing it, but I just identify with certain things. And I don't necessarily say that that was me per se. Let me give you an example. When I was doing the formal meditation training at the Chosenji temple, it's in Honolulu. It's the only, it's the first temple, first and only temple that sanctioned out of the original, the Japanese Zen Buddhist temple in Japan. So it's very traditional. I mean, when I'm there, I'm wearing a hakama and, you know, like the people that are in Aikido, they wear those hakamas, like the black, kind of like a dress, half dress. And, a gi, and, you know, it's very traditional. You don't talk. And when I did that, I got this cellular memory of having sat for my entire life. And I was launched into a body in India, and I had no possessions, and I just made a vow, a sitting vow. And so I had sat in that position my entire life and died in that position. And so that was my way of saying, okay, look, you've done the formal thing. I'm going to give you this memory so you don't get caught up in the formality of any kind, any one religion, even though, you know, Buddhist is, in my mind, is a very direct and, you know, nice religion. It was my final detachment from any kind of formalized religion. And indeed, when I go there now, I just go just to kind of reset myself and tap it, because there's so much energy in that temple. It's just like really tasty. So, the Lemuria, so I had a vision of being on Lemuria and kind of starting my journey, on Earth 900,000 years ago. And then a big part of that was on Lemuria. I was probably there when it got blown up or something. I don't know. I mean, it's all cellular memory that we all have.
Do you have a memory of, being involved in an operation?
Nothing specific.
Do you have a memory of a planet exploding?
Not this one.
No. Okay.
But it's my understanding.
Not the Earth exploding, but another.
Yeah. In between Mars and Jupiter, where the asteroid belt is.
Yeah. What is the asteroid belt? Used to be.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, and then once you look at it, you're like, okay, wow. How does science miss that?
Well, maybe not. They haven't missed it.
Yeah, you know, they haven't.
Yeah. The mystery of why that's true, you know, so let's be less mysterious about this. What I'm talking about is the planet Maldek, which was so apparently the story goes, is that there was a reptilian base on there and that the Pleiadians were looking at, trying to disable that base and, you know, make more, human space in this galaxy quadrant. The base was underneath the surface and, typically like the reptilians, well, I don't know, same as what we're talking about here. They used human shields. So there were humans that were living on the surface of the planet. Not knowing at all that they were living on top of a huge bomb. And so when the Pleiadians launched their bunker buster, it blew everything to smithereens, including the humans on the surface. And that also was involved in an operation that removed Mars's atmosphere. And that was an accident. That was a cock up. It wasn't supposed to, but there'd been so much fracking on Mars that the sea was inflammable. There was so much oil and petrol floating on the sea that it just set the whole thing alight. It was supposed to be an EMP bomb, just to disable the reptilian. It was an outpost. It was an early warning outpost, and so that's why they targeted Mars. But they didn't realize that the planet had been fracked so much that the sea just burst into flames, and that's what killed the atmosphere. Long story.
Yeah, it could,
And then it blew a lot of the water into our atmosphere, which is why most water planets are 50-50 land water. And that's why we're more like, 70-30 or whatever it is that we are, 65-35.
That's right. It has continued to do so as well. As we go through the solar system, there's more and more water that falls to the planet. And so the sea level is going to rise and rise and rise. It's not going to go down anymore. And the trouble is that our civilizations are always on the coastline. So whenever the water level goes up, and it's always in one big blob, that's what comets are, you see. They're not made of rock. They're made of water.
Yeah, they're ice. Yeah, but the land is rising too. So I feel that there's going to be a balance. You see, everything's balancing out right now. So, we may continue to get more water, and even, the ice that's here may start to melt more too, because the earth itself is heating up, from the inside out. And, but there also the land is rising. So I feel that I definitely see a lot more islands. I see the islands everywhere. I had a vision of just seeing islands everywhere, and I'm a surfer. So when I'm, if I'm going to create my world and kind of imagine a perfect, Garden of Eden, which Eden was a planet, not a location on Earth. Eden was its own planet. I'm going to have lots of islands with lots of surf breaks. And in fact, if you look at some of the geometrical charting and the movement of the ocean bottom and of, surface land, some parts are going up, some parts are going down. So what do you think about this, JP? I don't remember who I heard it from, so I apologize, but I was told that now you want to go into some stuff. Part of the Muslims coming into America is us promising Martians from Mars that there's a big land grab right now, and it's not just between countries; it's more intergalactic kind of land grab of Earth. And that the Muslims that are putting in place actually hail from Mars and were displaced during that from the Pleiades, and kind of blame the Pleiadians on that whole thing, of course.
Exactly.
And they're like, okay, hey, you need to put us somewhere, I just heard that. And then when the fracking first came up here on Earth, I can tell you right away, I felt that it was there was another purpose behind it. And that and then I found out that the government was using those holes to dump industrial waste. And of course, they were charging for that. So, big corporations were paying to have this waste dispose of what they thought was properly. And they were just dumping them down into these deep fracked holes in order to also disrupt the vibration, this whole thing that we're going through.
What could go wrong? What could go wrong? Number 279. I'm going to have to think of new numbers. So listen, there was this, there was another part of the operation as well. And that was to deal with the reptilians on Earth. And of course, another consequence of the operation was that the people who did this big act of destroying the planet, it's created a lot of karma, like we're talking about earlier on. You make an influence, you do an influence, you think it's going to be for the good, but it turns out to have some rather disastrous consequences.
Good point,
isn't it?
Let's not go blowing up Earth.
Let's not go blowing up
inadvertently.
Yeah, here's the thing, and here's the thing, that these people that we're talking about have bombs in their deep bases, and presumably there's some extraterrestrial hardware that can be brought in that could potentially destroy this planet easily.
Let me say this.
We boil into space.
Ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, let me say this. And when you asked me about the bunkers and all that, this was, so every day is like years. All right. So, and since then, this was probably a couple of weeks ago or no, maybe a week. No, not even like a couple of days ago. I was guided that just to approach all these entities, the reptilians, gosh, there's so many that have an influence. Danobs, that's another one that I didn't really realize that were around, but the Danobs are like a
14 species creation. Just approach them with love and send them love and just say, you know what? And so what I've been doing is just trying to have them removed from the planet. There was one meditation I did, JP, where I stepped outside of myself and I was out in space and I was looking back at the earth and I took an energetic blanket basically, at the bottom of the earth. I told all the ships to move out of the area, on both above and below the earth. And I took a blanket of energy, put it underneath the earth and just basically held it on all four corners and just wiped it all the way through earth. And I said, any souls, you know, and I kind of clumped a lot of the, basically started with vibration. So from zero vibration up, I just got all the lowest vibration entities first. I didn't single out any, you know, any kind of race or anything like that, because I believe, especially having grown up in the South, this comes up with AI a lot. But let me finish the story. What I did was I took this blanket and I wiped it all the way through the earth. And then, I closed it up, above the earth. And then I said, okay, I'm going to let it go. And I said, I'm just going to call on everyone that's out there, you know, Procyon energy, Avion energy, whatever. I'm going to let this go. And all of these dark entities are in this energetic blanket. And I opened it up and they just grabbed them all and took them to another planet, you know, relocated them. And that's the kind of, those are the kind of imaginative meditations that I do, now, you know, it's all love. It's all, you know, as little damage as possible. You know, I'm not like, you know, blowing anything up with any weapons or anything like that. I just kind of am taking a different approach. Because once it's like, if you really believe that your tax dollars are going towards supporting all the corruption and child trafficking and all this stuff, and you still pay taxes, you know, I mean, you talk about karmic attachment, you know, you are directly financing a lot of these programs. And I'm all about financing education and improving roads and infrastructure and all that. But I'm not going to do it until we get to a point where we're responsibly accounting for all this money. And it's not just going into the pockets of a handful of people.
Here's the thing. When you get to the point, the tax man will start paying you.
Yeah, well, I've sent them a letter demanding all my taxes back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
tell them that they can pay it off in installments.
Yep.
But, the longer they take, the more it'll cost them in interest.
Yeah. And the whole 3D thing, we could talk hours for the whole, like what you can do and, you know, in physicality to kind of, you know, move in the direction away from all these controllers. There's so much that can be done. But the most important thing, the first thing that people got to do is they just got to get in touch with themselves. They got to forgive themselves. They got to unconditionally love themselves, because you can't love anybody else and you're not going to do anyone any good if you're still dealing with stuff. You got to do that.
Well, and here's the thing. And this is part of the problem is trauma and PTSD. I talk about it all the time. And that, you know, just barely existing on this planet involves a vast amount of body trauma and psychic trauma. And, this is what you noticed at the time of 9/11, because I believe from that point onwards, Americans had a very strong PTSD. This has been the cause of, a lot of the weird behavior since then. Because everybody's been traumatized and nobody's been able to release the shock. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Now there you are in the heart center in Lemuria, right? I'm not going to call it Hawaii. Well, I could, cause that, but it's another time. Is there the eternalness of what I imagined? Of what I imagine Hawaii going to be.
Yeah, it's amazing.
The feeling of that is never ending and there's no impending doom like I feel here all the time.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. One of the big things that I do is kind of just ground. Well, first of all, everyone, if you want to help out, you could ground your energy and your light into the earth. Because like again, what I think is that we're here for the earth right now. This is her time. And I ground a lot of energy with a lot of, there's a lot of fear. So every single thing, you can trace it back in my mind. You can trace it back to either fear or love. And those are the two emotions that, you know, as far as I'm concerned, everything can be traced back to. Now you could even be fearful in a loving way. Like if your child, you know, darts toward traffic, you may, you know, I've seen, you know, parents smack them on the butt or something like that because you got scared because you were fearful of that loss. All right. So that's a fear that's based in love. But it comes out as, you know, sometimes a yell or, you know, but it still can be traced back to fear or love, and love can still be violent. Like that's an example, you know, small scale example of how, you know, you can have the best intentions, but still cause pain or trauma because everyone's going to take something differently. So in my mind, we have to drop our expectations. We have to drop our prejudices. And a lot of people are having trouble moving past that. You know, you see it every day, even in Hawaii, that 3D reality is the one that everyone's dealing with, but we live in a kind of conscious community. I mean, it's beautiful, you know, So this, you know, just in the past 2 days, we work in our organic garden. We, you know, like I said, we don't have TV or anything like that. We go down to the beach, we play, we're right across the street from it, but we're up high so we can see the ocean and everything from our house. So, I mean, it's like living in fairyland. It's not even real reality.
Well, it's great. This is the thing, you know, that you are in that's the eternalness that I was talking about. It is real reality. That is really, yeah, really what reality is. And everything else is the result of the matrix, you know.
Sounds good.
And at some point, you know, you start seeing things from the, you know, from the local shaman's point of view. Which is his job.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a good point. Yeah. And so that's why I encourage the people at the beginning of the show to kind of follow your heart. This is the time to, you know, to take some risk, you know, and balance out the mind and the soul, you know, the heart center and your psyche, your brain. So don't overthink things, but at the same time, you know, start following your passion.
Feel into things. Let me just say, Max he's reported sick in action, so he's off to the sick bay for a sleep and lots of water. He's got a headache. He's got migraine. I'm not gonna minimize his discomfort. It's horrible. I hate migraines, and I hope you feel better soon. Well, a good sleep and lots of water, that'll do it. I mean, usually I get migraines when I need to sleep. My body's tired. He's probably tired. Yeah, and we all must get lots of sleep, don't you think? Hang on. We have.
I don't know. Maybe. No? I think so. I don't sleep that much.
Don't you? All right. I need to sleep loads. Hey, we got a caller. Olive.
Can you believe it? How you guys doing? I've been listening to the whole show. I don't remember which one. It's just talking about the IRS and taxes. And so you thanks for taking my call. I don't know if it's somebody just hung up, so it must be.
So Olive, you're talking to Jay, who's in Hawaii, and JP, who's in Scotland, as you know. And where are you, Olive?
Right now, I'm in Apple Valley, California.
California. In the breadbasket of the United States.
Yeah, well, I got jurisdiction. That's right. So I wanted to talk to, I wanted to ask him a question.
Okay. Jay.
And if he's got, if I don't ask you a question, what sense do you get?
That you're curious about, taxes.
Okay. Well, that's all you get? So, okay, you said
you want to know more about, you want to know more about paying taxes?
You said you said you don't pay them. Then you say,
I didn't say that.
Okay.
I said that once you realize what they go toward, you need to stop paying them.
Right. And so there's only lawful taxes that we should pay, and there's a bunch of, ones that are,
how many lawful taxes do you know? Unless you're the member of the club and you're paying membership fees, there's no tax.
Yeah, that's fine. That's what you do. You pay, you don't pay rent either. You pay a maintenance fee. that maintenance fee goes towards the house, you know, to make sure, you know, everything's taken care of. Let's say instead of renting, you pay a maintenance fee, and then in that way you can force them in law better to make sure you can kick that landlord right in the teeth. I fully believe the complete destruction of the IRS must be. It must happen. They have, show me how they have your best interest at heart. Like my brother, Angelo, you know, he probably made about $120,000 last year. He did his taxes. So he paid around close to $50,000. He gets $8,000 back. Wow. You know, I mean, I'm just thinking, so, you know, that's the kind of stuff that we're talking about. You know, where's that $42,000?
But in the end, they're just numbers. They're just zeros. And
yeah.
And they're throwing them around because it's truly imaginary, Ilu.
Yeah.
You know, unless you got a kilo of silver in your fist.
Silver and gold, right.
Yeah. That's not money. It's not money. It just is not money and it's not worth worrying because causing yourself distress.
Yeah. But if
Can you breathe? What does it make you feel?
JP.
Yeah, this is important. Why do you talk about this?
They take that illusion and stuff it down your throat and make it hard for your life, right?
Yeah, it's difficult.
And how do you feel about it?
Oh, I want to destroy them completely.
You want to destroy them? Why?
Absolutely.
When did you start feeling this?
A long time ago. But right now it's just up.
Can you remember the first time?
Well, yeah, I remember, I'll tell you the first time. It was in 19 around, I was doing tile. I made $1,100, you know, this 1 week. And through child support and taxes, I brought home $400. And that was it. That was in 19, that's when I started changing, you know, letting them do that. I thought, look, I made $1,100. I'm bringing home about $430, made about $1,180 or whatever. And they're taking it all. They took, you know,
$610.
You say it's all imaginary, but yet they want that rent. Is that imaginary? You know, you see what I'm saying? So that imaginary bull crap actually needs to be
No, but look. No, but look. Look at Jay over there in Hawaii. You know, that's reality. It seems like fairyland. It seems like a mythical land, but it's a real place, and he's really living there. And you're in a different place.
And David Wayne Miller was over there. I know.
Yeah, it's a great place. It's nice.
I just think that, you know, I mean, I don't see, we were talking about if somebody's not beneficial to society, shouldn't they be removed one way or another?
Who does the removal and who decides?
You and me, right. And we do that by stepping back, like you said, JP, you know, by me changing, you know, I get mad and I just want to crush it, you know, and instead of, you know, doing like you said, and you're probably right about this, you know, stepping back and looking at it and evaluating it instead of just trying to cut the world in half.
Here's the thing, Olive, is anybody like the IRS that you're really, really angry with and you feel owes you lots and you've got this great emotion towards?
Well,
hang on. But anybody like that, really, in their complete honesty, they don't give a toss. They don't give a damn. They really don't. You're just like, you're just the guy who's jumping up and down and seething. But to them, you're just the guy. You know, you have no meaning towards them.
You know where the meaning comes from? The powerful intent to destroy them works. You have to know that, JP. You know that. You know that.
So how do you focus that?
Well, like he was talking about earlier, you know, he made some good points of how he was talking about drawing the energy in and out of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we do that too. I would say that you start with, try to, pay less taxes, figure out ways to pay less and get more back at least if you're going to have to get into the system. You know, I know like Hawk has to pay them. I mean, and then, you know, get back as much as you can. Lawfully, and only pay lawful taxes, you know? The ones that are lawfully need paid, that's fine, but it's not that way. I just saw a thing about, I don't know if it's true or not, and I don't know if they're talking about this in Scotland about some illegals getting 17 grand or something. I don't know, some weird numbers. Any of you guys hear about that?
It really doesn't matter who's doing what.
Yeah, I can give you a history of how you can get out of this because there is a history to it. You got to do your research. You just can't stop paying tax. I mean, you can just stop paying taxes, but it's not, I mean, it could come back to bite you in the butt because you got to do the energetic work and understand how you got into this because we put ourselves into this. I mean, indirectly, we put ourselves into this and this goes back hundreds of years. This is not something that started with the IRS. Babylonian money magic. You can look that up and you can see that it goes back, you know, a long way. So, and you probably know this already, but when you're born, and I'll just give everyone a crash course. When you're born and you get a social security number, the government, which is now running out of, I think it's fourth entity, which is U.S. Inc. out of Puerto Rico, because all the others have gone bankrupt and indeed that one has been bankrupt for some time. But they take out a company, a subsidiary of the U.S. Inc., which started as United States Inc. and then United States of America Inc. And they use capital letters and all this crap. It's just to confuse people. Can we say crap? Sorry. And, so anyways, they're running out of Puerto Rico and your social security number is like an EIN and then your name in all caps, which you can see on your checks. You can't. So I went in the other day and. So you know that whole history. If anyone doesn't know that whole history, you got to look that up. But the way you get out of that, one of the ways, there's many ways, but one of the ways is that you can get a passport without your social, and that will detach you from your company, which is your name in all caps. And like my I don't use my driver's license anymore. I use my passport. My passport, the social on that is all zeros. So it's not attached to Jason Harris, the company.
Right. And I get the zero thing too from the Department of Treasury. Go ahead.
Okay. So you know a different way. That's wonderful. But we got to tell people about this because if you look this up, you can figure it out. You got to put all of your little things.
The two breaks up the capital letters. The two breaks it up. When you use numbers and letters, then it's not.
Yeah, so I did, you know, I went, and this took a while, you know, to research this, and it also took a while to energetically go with it, because if you don't have all your ducks in a row, it can come back to bite you in the butt energetically alone, you know? I mean, the stress of getting a letter from the IRS, if you don't know what to do and you're not confident in the process. But the tipping point for me, like I said, I have stopped paying, but I didn't say that, but I will say that I have stopped. The tipping point for me was when I found out all the shenanigans that are attached to that this money is providing. And like you said in the beginning, JP, mercenaries and all these people, they're all broke now. They have no money. They stop doing all the shenanigans when they stop getting paid because there's an energetic transfer that has to occur.
Exactly.
In any transaction, there needs to be a fair and equal amount of energy that's transferred. That's why it's important for people not to do stuff for free, not necessarily charge for it, but at the same time, there's got to be an energetic transfer that comes back. Like the other day, we have a company where one of the aspects of it is essential oils. My wife gave someone $200 in essential oils and she said, and my wife wasn't around and she said, well, I'll pay your wife back when I see her. And I said, you know what? She's a gardener. I said, I've been thinking about putting an organic garden right over here. I said, do you think that if you did that would be equivalent? And so over the weekend, she delivered like 20 different things that she had planted from lettuce to onion to whatever. That's the economy that we have to move toward where we exchange goods and services and get money out of the equation.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I'm looking at your thing down there. It says 11 and, I was born on, you know, 20, I got 11, 11. I was born 11. Minutes after 11 p.m. That's interesting.
Oh, nice. So, I was born on the 11th in 1973, which adds up to 11. So, yeah, it's weird. So, do you follow numerology?
Yeah, 29th. I was born on 29th in 65. Those are both 11, 11. Yeah. And then 11, 11 p.m., 11 minutes after 11 p.m. in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. But, I try to listen to JP's show, you know, because he's got good insight and observations. I like how his observations on issues are pretty, you know, I don't agree with all of them and he don't most people don't agree with mine, but, you know, the whole thing, you know, I'm not saying you, to quit paying taxes, like with my documents, my quiet title, and my, constructive notice, reporter declaration of deeds and memorandum law and all that I got that's notarized. It's funny, I got real sick after that, but I'm ready to move forward on that and, section township and range and everything. And,
well, I agree with you. I see the IRS going away entirely. In a loving way. It's just going to be replaced. Like, you know what's going, here's an example. You know what's going on right now is China has created their own gold standard valuing gold. So that's what's going to happen, right? It's going to be, okay, the old system, you know, I think it's out of London, the old, you know, the, I don't even know what the exchange is for gold. Is it Mercantile Exchange? I don't know. I'm sorry. But they're just going to, it's just going to become obsolete because look, your gold can be worth this much in that system or it can be worth this much in the other system. So it won't be like a hostile takeover of the IRS, but it'll just be like, okay, you know, it's voluntary anyways. I mean, you can look up all in the tax code that says that your wages, the tax on your wages is voluntary.
Yeah. They say that. Indirectly force you, you know that.
Yes. Yeah, they do, but on an energetic level, they feel like they've washed their hands of it. And indeed, when the United States goes to other countries and says, you know, we're doing these deals, we're going to give you this, we're going to give you that, what they use as evidence that the people back them is the number of people paying taxes and the number of people that are registered to vote. They say, look at all the people registered to vote. They don't count the number of people that vote. They say all these people registered to vote. They voted Barack Obama in. We have the support of the American people in everything that we do. That's what they do when they go to other countries and the countries stick up for us.
You know what I say about this voting thing? You know, they say that the Secretary of the State of each state is supposed to certify these votes. And, I would say that each voter should get back a letter in the mail. You know, with a stamp on it of that state stamp showing proof and a signature from the Secretary of the State that your vote counted. Otherwise, kick him in the teeth. Cause, you know,
I don't even know how to unregister to vote.
They give you a sticker.
I looked.
Go in, you vote, and they give you a little sticker, and you walk around with your sticker, you know, at the store for about half the day, and then that's how you get it.
Well, anyways, I mean, moving forward, I think the important thing for me is to say, first of all, I hear you saying destroy the IRS, and I think on an energetic level, I can identify with you, but you got to remember what you oppose, you strengthen. So from an energetic level, it's just a little shift in mindset that needs to be like, you know what? We're done. I mean, you know, God bless you. You know, there's nothing that, you know, I've asked for my money back. There's a letter that you can craft and you send them the paperwork and I've demanded my money back. So I immediately went on the offense and put them on the defense, but
declare sovereignty.
Yeah. But you just gotta be, you know, we're just done with the system. We're not trying to destroy them. We're not trying to annihilate them. We're not trying to blow them up. We're just done. You know, your time is gone. It's over. And indeed it's already done. It's just not, hasn't been rolled out to the public. The IRS is going to be gone.
If I was to visualize it, you know, I'll do this real quick and then we'll keep going here, but never mind. I was going to say something like King Kong taking a crap on the building or something. I mean, you know, then that might make it worse.
it'd make me feel better. That's for sure. The question is, how do you move away from money?
What happened is at the beginning of the show, I got a call from one of the banks. They want to do business with me. They want to give me loans. And I don't know who these people are. You call me out of nowhere. Just don't call me. And sometimes I get a little mad and a little bit out of it. But you guys help me, balance, like you said. Come to the center.
I got a funny story for you. Go ahead.
I have a funny story.
By the way, we got two minutes to go.
Okay. So I got up the nerve the other day and I went in and I opened up a bank account using my passport and my social was 000000888.
Nice. The Chinese would love that.
That should also be on your checks at the Department of Treasury. 000.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I have no idea. I just did this on, maybe Wednesday or something like that.
Okay.
I didn't have checks.
All right. I'm going to number everybody out. It's 1855. I'm 55 years old. I have 55 notifications on Facebook as of now. I used to get a 55 bus to both of my schools, both primary and secondary. I like 55. It's a nice number, and I'm really enjoying being 55. However, this effect that I have on my effects unit is only numbering 54. So let me just flick it. There we go. Here, brothers and sisters, this is effect number 55. This is,
I see 55.
Effect 55 for the other side, because, Wolf Spirit Radio will hear one, group of effects. So it was an echo, was it? A sort of big echo?
No, that was real good. That was amazing. It's amazing how we do connect with numbers. And that's why, like with mine, you see they're all upper caps, but there's a two there. That changes everything. So anyway, I don't care about that stuff. I don't give it energy. Like I said, I get some things just, get a little wired up, after 10 years of being raped.
Yeah, I know. It sucks. But, I mean, we got to move on. We've really got to move on. You got to just move away from the place where they're sticking things in your, just move away and say, I'm not having that anymore,
I just don't like how they try to trick me into wanting to be part of their group.
Well, it's clever. They're clever.
Yeah, well, it's just gonna, it only backfire because, within my heart, and like Jay was talking about how he resonates with things, I resonate when they try to lie to me. What I mean is I resonate in the way of knowing that they're trying to lie to me and they're not gonna get by with it. Not resonate, I'm using the wrong word.
Anyway, listen, we're out of time. It's now 57. There's the guitar. Thank you very much. Max Steele. And Jay from Hawaii and Olive 2M. Good night, everybody. This has been JP with Journeys with JP.